وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio. And you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human rights, and specifically we are looking at rights of non-believers or non-Muslims in countries, or at least countries run by an Islamic doctrine, an Islamic law. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we said, has preserved the rights for people, generally speaking, all of them. They have the right to live. They have the right to be dignified. They have the right to have their own free faith. They have the right to practice their faith. But moreover, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted Muslims and Islam to deal with non-Muslims with justice and fairness. And in no circumstances would you find a situation where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dealt with non-Muslims unfairly and unjustly, or even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, or his disciples, the Imams, the Infallibles. When they deal with those people who are non-Muslims, they always deal with them justly and fairly. They do not say he's a Muslim and he's non-Muslim, therefore I need to, you know, take the Muslim side. That never happened. You will not find a single event where non-Muslims were treated poorly or judged poorly under an Islamic government. To even to the extent one day, there's a story of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, where he had to go to court against a Jew who stole his armor, and the person who was trying to judge between them was a Muslim, and they said to the Amir, look, obviously you're a Muslim, he's a Jew, we'll give the right to you. He said to them, no, no such a thing. You ask him to prove his dalil, I have to bring my dalil, my evidence. If I win the case fairly, then you give it to me. And Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, he said, well, okay, I have no evidence to prove that's mine, besides saying it's mine. And the Jew says, well, it's not, and I have ownership of it now, so that makes it mine. And Amir al-Mu'mineen says, fair, it's yours, it's not mine. So he never used the fact that, okay, you know what, since we're Muslims, then let's side with non-Muslims. That never happened. Where today, we see the opposite happening. If he's a Muslim in Western countries, without naming names, if a Muslim is suspected of doing something, I'm saying suspected, he never committed a crime, even though this law that you're innocent until proven guilty, that somehow does not apply to many Muslims in the West. If you're suspected of doing something, you get arrested. Sometimes you are under house arrest. Sometimes you are, you know, you can't leave your city and stuff like that. You get holed up for years and years. And you never dealt with fairly. Why? Because you're a Muslim. Simply because you're a Muslim. You get prosecuted for being a Muslim. So justice never applies. Where under Islamic State, Allah says, Muslims or non-Muslims, they need to be treated fairly and equally in a court of justice. Their faith stays outside the door, and what we discuss is the problem itself, and we prove the guilty guilty and the innocent innocent. That was one of the most basic rights that Islam has given to non-Muslims over 1400 years ago, and still continuing. And that does not exist in an age and era of what we call freedom and democracy. Now, let us take a short break and then we'll continue right after.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. One of the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved for non-Muslims in an Islamic state is that their blood, their wealth, their money, and their families are protected. As we say in Arabic, dima'uhum wa amwaluhum wa a'radihim, right? So a non-Muslim, his blood is sacred as much as a Muslim. Allah says if you shed the blood of an innocent person, it's like you have shed the blood of entire humanity. He did not say the blood of a Muslim. He said the blood of a person, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says when it comes to blood, it's a red line. Blood should not be shed under no circumstances unless it is retribution, as we call it, qisas, where a person kills another person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the right to the family of the person who has been killed to kill his killer. And obviously Allah says if you forgive them, it's even better. So Allah does not want to shed blood. So the right of a person to have his blood saved is also preserved under Islamic law. When it comes to their wealth, is also preserved. Now, if for argument's sake, we have money saved under the in an Islamic treasury or an Islamic bank system, can the Muslim say, well, okay, he's a non-Muslim, I have the right to take his money? Of course not. Nonsense. Even back in the day when non-Muslims used to give a trust, an amana to a Muslim to keep for safekeeping, Muslims were required to give back dime by dime. And even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes when he takes a loan from Jews, he would give it back to them, because their wealth is protected under an Islamic law. Sadly, we see a lot of Muslims in the Western countries, or even in Islamic countries, they say, well, he's a Christian, he's a Jew, he's a non-believer, so therefore I have the right to kill him, I have the right to take his money. That is not an Islamic teaching, sadly. Thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves the family or the families of those people when it comes to females, for example. Because it was after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and even continue to our recent times, where when people, those who are claimed to be Muslims, go to countries or villages or places or cities where non-Muslims reside, they take their wives as hostages, as we call sabaya, as slaves, captives, and then they sold in the market. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that should not happen. Their lives is also preserved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly in the Quran, he gives descriptions in this regard. For example, when you look at chapter Al-An'am in verse 151, he gives a clear description that those rights of human beings or non-Muslims should be preserved. So Allah says, قُلْ تَعَالُوا أَتْلُوا مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. I'm going to say, come, let me explain to you what your Lord has forbidden on you. And then Allah says, he mentions a list of things, and then he says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Do not shed the blood of a soul that is protected unless there is a reason to do so. So far we looked at six rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved for non-Muslims in Islam. which we do not see existing in our modern day for Muslims in Western countries. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi.